seems to be discouraging economic news from every quarter of the world, almost every quarter of the calendar. Each stripe of political opinion seems to blame the other. Economists of all opinions float proposals. But increasingly, there are observers and thinkers who say that the world is in the middle of what they call a tectonic shift in the way that we work, which creates the economy. And technology has made it possible to do more, build more steel, make more cars or shoes, grow more food, with fewer people. What happens to jobs? What happens to work? We're going to turn now to Michael Hawley, formerly at MIT's Media Lab. He's a computer scientist who's held the Dreyfus Professorship at MIT. He was the principal engineer at Next with Steve Jobs. Michael Hawley is also a pianist. He won the Van Cliburn competition in 2002. Dr. Hawley joins us now from the studios of member station WGBH in Boston. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure, Scott.
So what's going on in this century?
There are big changes, and I think there always have been. The story of doing more with less isn't new. That's the root of producing better economies and a better life. It's not just human tellers turning into ATM machines or toll takers turning into easy passes or John Henry turning into a steam shovel. It's all of that and more. And periodically there are events in life, whether individual or societal, that kind of wipe the slate clean. There are natural disasters. There are economic and technological ones. The real question is what we do afterwards.
Let me get you to talk a bit about something as case-specific as the auto industry, which for years kind of in one way or another defined American workmanship.
Well, let's just put a number on it, sort of a glib number. The grand total of U.S. automotive fatalities from 1975 to the present, about 1.5 million people. Now, the grand total of U.S. fatalities from 1775 to the present in every military conflict we've had is 1.3 million. So, in other words, in the last roughly 35 years, we've killed more people with cars than we have in more than 300 years of warfare. Mm-hmm. I think if you step back and look at cars from a sort of 35,000-foot level, you've got to wonder why we're doing this to ourselves. And there's a tremendous amount of industry and employment built up around it. But suppose it all changed. One way it could change is if humans weren't allowed to drive cars anymore. Or let me put it differently. Mm-hmm. If cars were much more appealing because they drove themselves and did it safely. And this isn't just Jetson stuff. There's a brilliant computer scientist, artificial intelligence researcher at Stanford, named Sebastian Thrun. He's invented a car that drives itself. You can hop in the car, and you never touch the wheel or the pedals. Mm-hmm. It navigates through all the traffic snarls. It won't run over little old ladies in Pasadena. It won't even run over a squirrel. If you could eliminate the 7 million accidents per year, the 2.9 million injuries, the 40,000 fatalities, that would be an enormous boon. But if you think about what would happen in the short term, let's suppose in the next 5 or 10 years this idea comes to fruition. Think about all the disruption that could cause. You might not have to own a car. Well, that might be good. You'd have a garage that you could use to start up a company instead of storing a couple of rusting hulks of metal in it. You'd never have to call Tom and Ray Maliazzi again because you wouldn't have to fix your car.
Now you're talking.
You wouldn't. There wouldn't be a parking problem because you'd push a little button on your iPhone, a smart car would zip up, pick you up, drop you off where you need to go. That means no more valets, no more taxi drivers, no more meter maids, no more traffic cops. You'd never hear a car horn because why would a robot car honk at another robot car? It makes no sense. But that's an example of the sort of change that in the short term can cause immense amounts of anxiety and upheaval. And if you were a political leader and you had your choice between bailing out General Motors to build the same technologies that are killing people year after year versus investing in a future that would be so much happier and healthier and less costly on every level, dollars and human lives, you know, what should you do and how do you navigate in there? But things have to change, and there's always room to make life better. And that's, I think, what this quest for better technologies is about.
For many people, the quest to make life better begins with having a job, that a job that you ideally like, but that which can support you and your family.
I think we have to ask the question of ourselves, what are the jobs that that we really would aspire to do most. And in a time of churn like the one we're in, I think many more people have a chance to ask themselves what they can begin to do next. And instead of looking at 9.2% unemployment, we could ask, what are the prospects for letting those 9.2% of the population be reeducated and go back to school and learn new skills? Surely we can afford to do that, but we don't seem to be focused in that way.
Michael Hawley, thank you very much.
You can call me Colette anytime.
And Michael Hawley is a former engineer at MIT's Media Lab. He spoke with us from Boston, and by the way, he's an accomplished pianist, too. Here he is performing the music of Alexander Scriabin. You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.